Revelation chapter number 2, and we'll focus our attention on verses 18 through 23. And of course, this is church number 6 as we continue our journey through the 7 churches in Revelation. So we have one more church to cover, but this is church number 6 here. And I believe that you're going to be blessed as we study the church that was located at Thyatira. Listen to the word of the Lord. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Verse number 19, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or permit that woman Jezebel. Somebody ought to say Jezebel. Which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Listen to 21. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. That's some serious business right there. 22. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that committed adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Let the church say amen. That was a deep word right there. Jesus Christ was upset because in verse number 20, the preacher of that church allowed someone to come in and mess up his house. So today I want to talk to you from the subject. It is in the form of a question: who messed up my house? Look next door, ask your neighbor, who messed up my house? And you may be seated at this time in the presence of our God. I do believe with all my heart that the more majority of us sitting here today certainly enjoy a mess-free house. I wish I had a witness here. We enjoy a house that is neat, a house that is clean, and a house that is orderly. How many of y'all really, really love that? Don't mean it always happens, but how many of y'all really love a mess-free house? Some of y'all struggling to put your hand down. I didn't say your house is. I just said how many of y'all in your heart would love to have that. All right, very good. But here's the reality. Sometimes it's difficult to live in a mess-free house, especially if there are children around. Especially if you live with folks who don't share your same values and desires to keep it up. Now, don't say amen too loud. Come on, y'all. Don't do that. Come on, y'all. This is not the time. But the bottom line is that we all desire to have a house that is nice and neat. Now, here's a question I want to throw out to you as I move to my next point. What if you allow someone to stay at your house? You have to go away for a week. Let's say you were taking a trip to Hawaii. I guess it's still in my brain, y'all. You took a 7-day cruise to Hawaii, and you let two young brothers stay there. And you told them, hey, listen, you don't have to pay anything, and you know, hey, just take care of my house. Now, before you left, you made sure that the house was spick and span for the young men. You made sure all the beds were made up. Everything was in order. The dishes were in order. Everything was in order. Well, you go ahead and leave, and you go to Hawaii. Now, when you pull up after the 7 days, when you pull up to your house, everything looks good. And you say, oh, those young men took care of my house. But then when you walk up to the door, put the key in, and you push the door open. And when you walk in, immediately, you see pizza boxes all up in your living room. Oh, come on now. And cans. And not just 7-Up cans. Come on now. Not just Pepsi cans. And not even Diet Coke. I think I'll leave it right there. Then you move further and you go into the kitchen. You see pots and pans everywhere. You see dishes everywhere. The kitchen is a wreck. Then you go into your bedroom. Somebody gotta holler, your bedroom. Say my bedroom. You go into your bedroom and number one, you see that someone has been in your bed. You can tell it was more than one person because you have four pillows there. So you use four pillows when you sleep. You put one on your head, one under your back, one between your knees, and two between your ankles. So you got a system. But you know, you see the pillows all spread out. Cup is all messed up. Then you see paper plates with three-day-old chicken bones in them. House is all messed up. Then add insult to injury, those jokers left your house without at least cleaning it up. It's one thing to make a mess, it's another thing to at least clean it up. They left it messed up. What would be your first question when you walk through that house? What would be your question? Who messed up my house? Right? Or some of y'all might say, where is my gun? No, I'm sorry, man. You don't do that, y'all. Don't do it. Anyway, who messed up my house? Now, when you finally get a hold of them, no doubt you are going to go off. Even the sweetest person in this congregation will go off. And listen, we have some really sweet people here. We talked about it in our Bible study on Tuesday. By the way, if you're missing Tuesdays, you're missing a treat. I mean, Tuesdays are really the bottom. But on Tuesday, we talked about the fruit of gentleness, and we just went around the church. We have so many sweet, nice, and gentle people in this church. But even the sweetest of you would go plumb off. Let's just take a poll. How many of y'all would be nice and calm and understanding when you know you walk in your house and it's all in the bag, and you say, well, that's okay. They're just young people. They're just doing their thing. Y'all think so? How many of y'all think your blood pressure will go up? Some of your pressure is already up. I'm just talking about it. And your pressure is up. Listen, you will go off. Well, I come to tell you that Jesus went off in our scripture text. Look at your brother and sister, tell them Jesus went off. Why did Jesus go off? Jesus went off because he left the church of Thyatira, his house, in the hands of the angel of the church, which was the pastor, and of the leaders in the church. And he trusted that they would take care his house while he was away. All was going well with this church. I mean, things were going pretty well. They got off to a good start. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at verse number 19, you will see six things that Jesus complimented this church. Well, you see verse number 19, he said, I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and thy faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. But here, he highlights six things. Let's take a look at the six things. Number one, Listen, he compliments this church on what? Let's take a look at number one. Here we go. All right, the first one is works. Everybody say works. See that Jesus said, I know your works. See, this was a working church. The church of God, powerhouse, and showed enough workers in it. They worked hard for God. They gave their all and their all for God. Compliment number two Jesus gave to them. He said, I know your charity. It was a very loving church. They had a lot of love in the church. Kind of remind me of True Way. You know, True Way, you know, we have a lot of love here. Can I get it? Amen. This church of Valley Poverty was a very loving church. I don't remember Jesus saying that about any of the other seven churches, but when it came to this church, he said that you all have love. They were a loving congregation. Number three, Jesus complimented them on their service. Let the church say service. These people served God and they served the community. They served the people. It was a serving church. They cared about the needs of people. Number four, he said, and their what? Patience. Their faith. He complimented them on their faith. They were faithful. If you look into the Greek, the word faithful, faith is pistis, which means faithful. They were a very faithful congregation. In other words, no one had to pump them or pry them to come to church. They didn't make excuses for not coming to church. If they didn't come to church, it was for a legitimate excuse. But the people had a desire. There was a spirit of faithfulness upon the congregation where the pastor didn't have to wonder, are the folks going to show up today? No, they were faithful and they were full of faith. And because they were full of faith, that made them faithful. Number five, Jesus complimented them on their patience. They were long suffering. In other words, they were long suffering with those in the congregation who got on their last nerve. Have you ever heard that saying? So and so got on my last nerve. Now, my mama used to say that all the time. She said, kids, y'all getting on my last nerve. Now that I'm older, studying some psychology and all that, I still haven't come across the last nerve. From a biological standpoint, I don't know what the last nerve is, but what I did discover when I was a kid, when my mama said, y'all getting on my last nerve, that was something bad. But in this church, even people who got on that last nerve, they were long suffering. They dealt with them. I think in every family, there is someone who knows which buttons to push. I said, I think in every family, right? Now, maybe your family is a Leave It to Beaver family. Absolutely perfect. And everybody, all 100 folks in the family, absolutely perfect. But I guarantee you, if you stick around them long enough, and please don't let them come and visit for a week, you'll be ready for them to go. If someone ever came to visit you even for 3 days, and you like, oh, Jesus, I'll be glad when they're up out of here. So this church had folk like that, but Thyatira was very patient with people. They were patient. They didn't just cut people off. They were patient with them. All right, and number six, Jesus complimented the church on their increased work. Everybody say their increased work. Now what does that mean? Now notice in verse number 18, in verse number 19, he mentions works at first. You see that I know thy works. And then he talks about and thy works and the last to be more than the first. So now what is he talking about? What Jesus was saying to them is that their works at the present time that he was talking to them was more than the first. In other words, they were more faithful now. And they worked harder for God then than they were at the beginning. They were already hardworking people, but they never stopped working. As a matter of fact, they had a work ethic. Church, you know, some people start off working hard for God, and then as the years go on, they take a dip. And that's why, honestly, when I see people like Mother Manise and Brother David and even Sister Marsha, you know, all three of them have a legitimate excuse to be at home right now. All of them, they have a legitimate excuse. But I remember Mother Manise saying, y'all push me in a wheelchair and let me teach Sunday school. Come on now, Brother David has an excellent excuse. And when we got Nurse Dion, she just graduated, amen, I believe Saturday. Come on, with her nursing degree, come on, let's praise God. I mean, she would even write him a letter, tell him, you can miss church today. But here he is in the house of God. People like that fascinates God. Because you have a love for God's house. You don't look for an excuse to get out and come into church. And this was the complexion, if you please, of this church. They love church. So, from the outside, everything looked good. All was going well. And folks would look at that church and say, man, that church is booming. But if you put the key in the door of Thyatira and you open it up, you walked in as Jesus did, he saw some things that were going on that he did not like. There was some mess going on. Everybody holler mess. Yes. And what Jesus wanted to know when he saw all this mess going on, he wanted to know who is responsible for this mess. And the name was called by Jesus. And the name was what? Jezebel. Come on, say it loud here. Jezebel. Now, this is not the same Jezebel mentioned in 1 Kings 18 and 19. Please note that. This is not that Jezebel. That Jezebel was dead, buried, and gone. As a matter of fact, that Jezebel was eaten by dogs. And I remember when Lady D spoke on this some time ago, you know, she spoke specifically on Jezebel, and her topic was, who let the dogs out? I believe that's what Jezebel was asking, when them dogs got bite back. All right, so this is not that Jezebel, but perhaps, listen to this. Many believe that this person that was either named Jezebel or was given the nickname Jezebel because she had the spirit of Jezebel. Don't you know that a person can take on the characteristic and ways of another person so much so until you start calling them that? So some theologians believe that perhaps her parents named her Jezebel. And if her parents named her Jezebel, I just have a question for them. Why did you name her Jezebel? Now, if they did not know the historicity of Jezebel, that's one thing. You know, if they didn't know the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Decalogue, the Law, that's one thing. If you don't know, you just don't know. But if they knew the characteristics of Jezebel, why would they name her Jezebel? Now, I'm just curious. I'll make it rhetorical. I wonder how many of you all would name your baby girl Jezebel. Huh? I'm just curious. That's comparable to you naming your child crazy. Now, wouldn't it be a hot mess if you just like, I just love the name crazy. And you know we as a people can come up with some crazy names. But you know, some of us, I'm gonna name her crazy. I'm gonna name her crazy. So can you imagine her on the first day of school while the attendance is being taken? And they go through all the regular names first. Bob, here, Aaron, here, Steve, here, Marcus, here. They go through all the regular names. Brian, here, David, here. Then they come to crazy. Crazy. Just think if your mama named you crazy. Now, Now, what happened to that baby? Let me take you to just a little psychology. People are going to ask that child every day, are you crazy? Especially if they go somewhere like Detroit Public Schools, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You got to learn to survive there. Now, I grew up in a Detroit Public School. I mean, you have to be tough there. So, are you crazy? So every day she'll be hearing that. So what's going to happen is that she's going to start acting crazy. Even though she might not be crazy, she's just going to start acting crazy because she's going to see everybody keep asking me, am I crazy? So if they keep asking me, am I crazy? I'm just going to act crazy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So why does she name her Jezebel? Because naming her Jezebel, folks probably just really, really just kept asking her, are you this, are you that, and the other, and she probably took on those characteristics. All right, let's move forward here. How y'all doing? Everybody okay? Okay, now, let's move forward. Get ready. Let's get ready to go deeper into this text. In verses 20 through 22, Jesus highlights four things that made him upset with Sister Jezebel. I'm not going to call her sister. And I'll show you in a minute. I ain't going to call her sister because she was a mess, y'all. Here are the four things, and you might want to write this down for those of you that's taking notes. Number one, he was upset with not only Jezebel, but the pastor of the church, the angel of the church. He was upset because the pastor permitted Jezebel to teach. Now, watch this. It wasn't the fact that she was just allowed to teach. But here's the deal. You never let a person with the wrong person teach the sheep. Jezebel had the wrong spirit. Jezebel had the spirit of manipulation. Jezebel had the spirit of influence. Now listen, when you sit under somebody and listen to them teach, you subjugate your heart, your mind, your will to them. And when you subjugate your heart, your mind, your intellect, and your will, you become vulnerable to them. So, whatever they say, if you are not strong, and if you are not well-versed in the word, because it sounds good, you buy into it. Now, not even just Bible teaching, but even talking about people. Someone with a strong personality, strong temperament that's unhealthy, they can start talking about a person, and because their influence is so strong, they'll have you disliking someone. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's why you gotta have your own mind when it comes to serving God. Hallelujah. Am I right about it? Even when it comes to your church, any church, and you have to be careful because people, you know, the devil will use people, you know, to get in your ear, just to make up stuff about your church. How do you know? I know because when I was at Solomon's Temple years ago, before I became pastor there, I mean, people were in my ear trying to pull me away from Solomon's Temple. People, I'm talking about folks right up in the church because they had an underlying agenda. But come to find out, thank God, amen, they were goats and they were wolves and they were trying to hurt the church. One almost had me. He had a strong influence and he appeared to be so godly. You know, even in his worship, mom. That's how he was saying, mom. What is that? Calling on his mama. You know, I don't know what he was doing, but oh my God. Then he started carrying around to this church and to that church and start comparing Solomon's Temple to that church. See that? This church got this going on. This church got this going on. We ain't got that going on at this church. But what happened was that, no, he had an underlying motive. He was trying to pull me and a group of young people away for his own interest. But then, see, and it confused me so much because I was young in Christ. He influenced me so much until I stopped going to church. I stopped going to church for 3 days. You said 3 days? Yeah. That was a big deal for me. Y'all got to understand, I was in church every day. I was in church every day. I'm serious. Monday night prayer, there was only about 10 of us. I was there in prayer. Tuesday, newcomers class. Wednesday, Bible study. Thursday was a choir rehearsal. I was in all the choirs. I was in the Chancellor Choir, the Joanne Bell, that's the youth choir. I was in the radio choir. I was in the Sunday night choir. Listen, I was even in the senior choir. I played guitar for the senior choir. I was in church every day. So for me to miss 3 days of church, red flags went up. And so someone called the pastor and said, "Pastor, we're concerned about Brother Hank." And so I was at Sears Roebuck Company, felt like I was in the cloud. This person did a mind on me. This person really did a game on my mind, should I say, and had me looking at my pastor funny, had me looking at my church funny, until I said, "I'm about to leave the church." So I stopped going for 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. Hallelujah. And then I was at work at Sears Roebuck Company. It was like I was in the fog. I wasn't going anywhere else. I didn't have nowhere else to go, because that place they were talking about, I wasn't going there. So I was just staying home, up in my room, by myself. But then my pastor called me. Sears Roebuck Company picked up the phone and said, "Sears Credit Department and secretary." I said, "Pastor Bonner, would I like to speak with you?" I said, "Huh, Pastor?" "Yes." He gets on the phone, "Bless you, son." That's what Bishop Bonner talking. "Praise the Lord, Pastor. Everything all right?" "Yes, sir." He said, "I want to talk to you. When can you come?" I said, "Sir, I can come right after church." I went right after church. And then I began to pour my heart out to him. And he poured the covers on that person that was not only trying to pull me, but was trying to pull others out. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? After that, come on now, after that, I took a firm stand. Although I was a babe in Christ, that person no longer had any influence over me. When my pastor said, "Be careful, son." See, my pastor's watching out for my soul. So I'm gonna listen to my pastor. And listen, y'all, that person sure enough came to me again, and I took a stand against that person, and the true colors of that person came out. That person called me everything but a child of God, but it didn't move me. I said, uh-uh. I talked to my pastor, and I'm taking a stand for what is right. Come on, somebody ought to praise God. So that's what happened in this case. The pastor permitted Jezebel to come up in there and start teaching some mess. Move on. You got to see this. Move on to number two. This is so good. All right, watch this. He permitted her to seduce God's servant to commit what? Fornication. Now, does everybody know what fornication is? Do I need to break down the word fornication? Are y'all sure?
Go ahead, Bishop.
I mean, are y'all super sure? I don't know if I need to break it down. Maybe I do. Because when I first started coming to church, and somebody went through all the list of things that I couldn't do, I said, "Fine, oh yeah, fine. And then they say, and by the way, you can't fornicate. I said, "That's fine. Now, yeah, no problem." Now remember, I was cool, had my hair slicked on, leather jacket, smooth, man, had to walk. Man, y'all gotta understand, now, I ain't always been nerdy like this. Man, I never had these thick glasses, man. Come on, y'all gotta hear me, I had to walk, come on. Crazy look, y'all just like, look, man. y'all know, y'all see guys, we bumping each other. Come on, man. Man, your pastor was the man. I just say, Mr. Cool, just say. And they said, "Oh, by the way, you know, you can't fornicate." I said, no, that's cool, man, that's cool. Then I asked somebody else, I left that and went on, I said, "Hey, by the way, what's fornication?" He said, "Sex before marriage." Man, I buckled like the scarecrow, man. I was like, "Woo, he's buckled, man." And I went down like the Titanic. So sometimes you just gotta break it down. I just broke it out. Y'all need me to break it out a little further? Some of y'all sweat like, please don't break it down. But it's very rare in this day and time where a pastor would tell you the truth. Because he's all about the money and the numbers. I am more about your soul.
Come on now. And so, whenever I feel led, I got to tell you the truth. I mean, if it step on your toes, just say, woo, Lord Jesus, the word hit me. All right, can I get an amen, somebody? All right, so the pastor permitted her to seduce God's servants to commit fornication. Now, notice the servants. A lot of brothers up in high places. She got some of the preachers, y'all. Jezebel must have been a bad woman. She brought down brothers with collars on, you know, those deep collars. You know, those probably had the big cross on. You know, looking spooky. You know, oh, come on now. When the spirit of Jezebel come upon a woman, she know what to say. She know how to say it. She don't even have to be the best looking. But she know how to transform and start talking in that Marilyn Monroe baby voice. Y'all don't know what that is? Don't let me pick out a woman with the spirit of Jezebel. I'll call her up here and let her give you an example. That's why I try to caution brothers. Listen, brothers, if you're going over to sister house, take someone with you. It just been, ah, I ain't worried about that. I'm strong in God. Well, this old man told me a story about this preacher who was strong in God. Oh, preacher told me this when I was young. He said, a preacher went over to a lady's house. She said, come quickly, I'm sick. And so the old preacher told the man to take somebody with him. He said, no, I'm strong in God. Brother went over there. Sister opened the door. And all she had on was a see-through negligee. Now, the brother had a big kitchen Bible in his hand. He was ready to go pray for her. Now, I'm just wondering, and I'm going to let y'all answer this. What do y'all think the brother did, the preacher did? One, rebuke the sister and told her how wrong she is. And rebuke the spirit of Jezebel, rebuke the spirit of Jezebel, and ran on the porch, jumped in the car and took off. How many of y'all say the preacher did that? How many of y'all say the preacher took this Bible and threw it behind him, and the Bible fell on the grass like this, and he went in? Listen, y'all. A woman with the spirit of Jezebel will bring you down and have you wondering what happened. Now, if you are a woman and you got the spirit of Jezebel, get delivered.
Amen.
Because Jezebel don't care about anybody's family. Jezebel don't care if the joker is married or not. She see the ring. But when the spirit of Jezebel comes, see, it's all about control. It's all about influence. It's all about manipulation. Hallelujah. Just elbow your neighbor and tell him, beware of Jezebel. Now, let's move on. Number three. He was upset with her because they permitted her to seduce Christians to eat things sacrificed to idols. See that? Seduce. The pastor of that church allowed Jezebel to seduce. Everybody say seduce. To entice. To lure, to beguile. Allow Jezebel to go in and permit to go influence the Christians to eat things sacrificed to idols. Somebody say that's deep. And in other words, they will offer up meat to these false gods and then serve it to the Christians. Now, of course, that's kind of foreign to us today because we don't do that. But if they set up a false god somewhere in Nashville and they took a couple steaks or Chick-fil-A sandwich and they lay it before the altar and offer it up and then bring it to you, how many of y'all were eating? You know some of y'all are so greedy, you know you were eating. No, I'm just going to eat it in Jesus' name. You know, I'm going to. You know you were eating. You eat everything. I'm sorry, I just had to say it. You know you eat everything. Man, stuff fall on the floor. You know, you talking about God made dirt and dirt don't hurt. I mean, listen, you did that when you were a kid. Stop that! When you get a disease. Man, I made no sense, man. You had a picnic. You had a picnic, man. And you know you run it and drop your burger on in the dirt. I'm talking about in the dirt. And you heard the old mama say, well, that's the last burger. And you pick it up talking about, in Jesus' name. I'm convinced some of y'all will eat it. All right, anyway, number four. Let's back this up. Number four. He was upset because they permitted her to operate despite her lack of remorse. You see, Jezebel wasn't sorry for anything that she did. That's when you know that you have the spirit of Jezebel on you. When you can do things, when you can hurt people, when you can purposely break up a family and don't feel any remorse. That's the spirit of Jezebel. You know what? When you do wrong, you're supposed to feel bad. When you reach a place in your Christian walk where you can do wrong and you don't feel any conviction, that's a scary place to be in. Just elbow your neighbor and tell your neighbor, that's a scary place to be in. So why did the pastor of the church allow Jezebel to get away with all of this? Why? Why do you think he allowed her to get away with it? Ask your neighbor why. Number one, I think perhaps Jesse was probably a heavy tithe giver. And he didn't want to stop them big tithes from coming in. How does that? What y'all think? Or perhaps he was just a jelly-back preacher. He didn't have the guts to stand up to Jezebel, especially with that strong spirit. You know, some people just look at women, that's just all. But some women are strong. You got some strong black women. How many of y'all are strong black women? Be proud of them. That's good if you're healthy. If you're healthy emotionally and mentally. But if you jacked up and strong, you can mess up a lot of folk, a lot of weak people. Because you always got some weak people who are gullible, and you got those who are strong. Can I get an amen? All right. So those who are the strongest need to book. You need to be the most spiritual. You need to stay in prayer so that you can help the ministry with your leadership abilities, right? All right. Or number three, I thought about this thing. Did he allow her to do it because perhaps she had something on him? Did Jezebel get him? Did Jezebel break down the pastor? And see, Jezebel always go for the big dog. In the company, it's not enough to just go for, you know, someone just working next to her. She wants the CEO. In the church, she'll bring down the deacon, but Jezebel love to get the pastor. You can come my way, Jesse. I'm going to put the blood on you. I'm going to put the blood of Jesus on you. And the second thing I'm going to put on you is Mother D. All of us said, I don't know which would be the one. It's the blood on Mother D. Come on. You better not mess with Mother D's chocolate drop. You better not. Don't even think about it. Because there will be some blood. Come on, God. All right, no. My wife is so stupid. Look at her. Moving around and all, y'all. Listen, I'm going to tell my wife. I mean, seriously, I tell my wife because, listen, I'm not playing in ministry. I'm not playing games in ministry. Y'all got to get rid of it. I said, I'm not playing games.
I say this with all humility in my heart, and I give God all the praise and the glory for it. We've been married for 31 years. I've never cheated on my wife. And let's be clear, I am 151% man. I like women like the next brother. But I love Jesus. Come on now. I said I'm in love with Jesus. And I'm still in love with my wife. 31 years. Still going the whole way. I ain't taking none of y'all the whole way. I love you. If you're gonna be in first class eating shrimp with me, no. And we're hiding and carrying on. No. I was struggling to spend all that money to go to take Lady D. You know you ain't getting nothing. All right, I'm back. I'm back, y'all. But it's time for preachers to live right. Sincerely. You know, you wonder why so many men cheat on their wives. In many instances, it's because they don't have an example. Men are cheating. My preachers are cheating on their wives. And so if the preacher is doing it, well then the brother said, well, if it's good enough for pastor, I said, pastor, y'all, that's what some of them calling the pastor. Pastor, if pastor doing and he getting away with it, and woo, he laid with the brick house. He laid with the brick house of the congregation. He got away with it. Surely it's good enough for me, but God is looking at you. Women have to live right. Now the sisters get quiet now. When I was on the brothers, y'all were hollering, y'all about to throw your head at me. And I mentioned the sisters, yet the volume went down. I said, sisters have to live right. Oh, drop it here. Come on, y'all, look at me. Come on, look at me right here, y'all. And all four. Did I say four? I ain't like when people call me four eyes and I'm just like, no, okay, I'm back. I just had a flashback. I'm back, y'all. Look at me in all four. It's time to live right so that we can help this next generation. This generation is jacked up. That young man that killed Mother Ward's son without a cause, y'all know that Krispy Kreme driver? Okay, his mother attends our church. And just shot him without a cause because he's robbing a store. Man, get a job. Young brothers, it's all right to work. Amen. What happened to my amen? I say it again and I ain't backing up for nobody. Why steal? Why steal from other people that's working hard?
That's right.
Just like all of us work.
That's right.
I think Deacon Brady working three jobs. You know, Mr. Manise for years worked two or three jobs. Cutting grass, worked doing his job. I can go on and on. I work hard to take care of my family. It's good for a man to work. Make you feel like a man. But for a man who feel like he's allergic to work, that's a problem. And young sisters and old sisters, don't be so desperate for a man. Will you allow him to move into your house?
Preach.
And take care of him. All he does is play video games. And it's the video game you bought. And when you threaten to take the game because he didn't put in the application, all right, baby, I do it. No, man, get up, get a job. And listen, and I'm not trying to down our brothers. I mean, some of them, I don't know what happened to some of them. Some of them didn't have a father, whatever the case is. But now you got a spiritual father that's going to tell you it's good to work. It's cool to work. Come on now. It's cool to work hard and make your own money and take care of your family. I find joy in taking care of my family. Come on, y'all. Amen's went way down there. Elbow your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, how you doing? Everybody stand up and just take a stretch break. Some of y'all have been shaking because I done shook some of y'all up. Or should I say the Holy Ghost done messed you up? Yeah, just stand up for about 5 seconds. Shake it up. I'm almost done.
But see, this might be the last time some of y'all come to church for 6 more months a week. So the Holy Ghost got to get right now. Oh, you may sit down. I'm about to finish this up. Woo! It's tight, but it's right. All right, let's go to verse number 21, and we're going to move through here. All right, now watch this. Jesus tried to help her. And he really, in verse number 21, Jesus tried to help Jezebel. This is so good. Everybody read this together with me. Ready, read.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not.
Jesus wanted to help her. Despite everything that Jezebel did, Jesus still loved her. And he reached out to her. And he gave her space to get her life together. Jesus tried. But she refused to repent. Sometimes you can get so in deep into what you're doing until you don't want to stop or you don't know how to get out of it. But if you just give it to Jesus, he knows how to pull you out of anything. Oh, I wish I had a witness in my house. In verse number 22, as we finish this up, Jesus went on. Now, I tell you what, we can finish this up next time. Y'all want to finish this up next time? Or y'all want to try to get through this?
Go ahead.
I mean, I can stop right here, but Jesus went on. We can pick it up next time. All right. All right, let's go ahead and finish it up there. Verse number 22, he says, behold, watch Jesus go off now. He went off. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. And them that committed adultery with her into great tribulation. Watch this. Jesus now is saying that I'm going to cast her into a bed. Now, he was not talking about a bed of fleshly pleasure. Watch this, let's break the scriptures down. Jesus was talking about the bed of affliction. He was talking about her sickbed. So when Jesus said, and I'm going to cast her to a bed, he was talking about, I'm about to pour judgment upon her. And she will actually lay there sick in that same bed that she did on that mess. Now she's about to suffer affliction. He said, and they who lay down with her. So not just Jezebel, everybody that lay with Jezebel. Jesus said that there will be great tribulation on you. Not just regular tribulation, but Jesus, I'm about to pour judgment upon you. Except they what? Repent of it. So here Jesus is giving them a chance. Now Jesus is really about to go off in 23. Ooh, hold on to your seats here. And I will kill her children with death. See, Jesus loves his house. Just like you love your house. Jesus loved his house. He said, I will allow her children to be killed with death. Now, there were two schools of thoughts on this. Some believe that this is talking about Jezebel's biological children. Others believe that this is talking about those that Jezebel gave spiritual birth to. You see, those who were influenced by her, and Jezebel became their spiritual mama, if you please. So there were two schools of thoughts on this. Then verse number 22 and 23, just talks about the threefold judgment. We'll just run through that quickly. Cast her to the bed of affliction or sickness. He'll bring tribulation upon them that commit adultery with her, and he will kill her children with death. Let's move to here, 23. He said, all the church should know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Now let's work with that. The reins here come from the Greek word, which is nephros. And the word nephros means kidney. And when you get into kidney in figurative language, it deals with the innermost mind. And so what Jesus is saying here, that they'll know that I am he who searches the mind
and what's in your heart. So Jesus tries what's in your mind and it's in your heart. That's why we should really make an effort to try to keep our hearts and our minds clean, because Jesus knows our thoughts. Ooh, I know this is a tight one. Some of y'all squirming in your seats. But I have to teach and preach the truth to you because I love your souls. Amen. Just elbow your neighbor and say, it's tight, but it's right.
Verse number
24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many of you have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I like this, I will not put upon none other burden. And so, and in other words, and for those who took a righteous stand, for those who refused to give in, he said that I won't put any of these things upon you. You will not have to suffer any judgment because you held on to the horns of the altar. As we bring this message to a close, listen, in these last evil days, you have to make up in your mind that it's for God I live. And it's for God I die. You have to make up in your mind that I'm not going to let anybody influence me. And there are a lot of false doctrines going out by way of internet, and you've got people right in the congregation who are planted, who have been sent here to mess up the church. But the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. You have to take a stand and make sure that you hold fast. And that's what he said. He said, you got to hold fast until I come. You got to hold on. And then he concludes with, to him that overcome. And I like that word overcome in the Greek is like io. And this word like io means to conquer. Do I have any conquerors here? It means to be victorious and it means to prevail. Listen, who messed up my house? Whoever it is, Jesus is saying to you that I'm giving you space to repent. I'm giving you space to be there. Hallelujah. Will y'all stand to your feet right now? I would force a hoop in the hack, but I don't feel led to do that. Today, let's just deal with the word. If he's giving you space to repent, you ought to take advantage of it. You said, well, Pastor, what about people? Forget people. Because the very one that you're trying to impress, they got skeletons in their closets. And God is about to open it except they repent. But anyone that's here today, if you got some things that's off and you want God to help you, come on up here. Will y'all come on that air a little bit for me? Okay, come on up here right now. Now, just walk up here. And if you're standing next to someone, just say, excuse me. And listen, we just want to pray with you. Just want to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please let me in? And you said, I will. Come on up here. Tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he. Who supplied, come on, all your need. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, ooh, everybody. Oh, I give my life, come on. Tomorrow, I thought about today. Come on, yeah, just stand with the pastor. Come on, y'all. Everybody, just come and stand with the pastor. Tomorrow, promise you, tomorrow, better truth the Lord today. Say, here I stand, won't you please
take my hand, and you said, I agree, but tomorrow, oh, Jesus said, I am he. Lift your hands and supply everybody. Oh, you're me. Come on, there's still time. And you said, I love, but tomorrow, oh, 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 come on. Oh, come on, tomorrow. I give my life tomorrow. I'm part of my today. Seconds, come on, come on. Tomorrow, come on. Where are you? Come running up here. Come running up here. And those up here, just stop praising God. Just stop praising God. Thank you for your courage. Every person up here, thank you for your courage. Because it takes a lot of courage to take that step. Some of y'all are crying out to God. Because you're sorry, you want to be helped. One tomorrow. Everyone that's up here, lift your hands right down. Repeat after me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. Please forgive me for all my weaknesses, all my shortcomings. Wash me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In Jesus' name, come on, give Jesus a great big praise.